The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Big reveal. Have you overcome your shock and disgust at what they've done to bastardize those colors and make them their own, although they were always theirs? Have you been able to work through your emotions now that the Titans have fully revealed what was always going to be the outcome? Their uniforms eventually just evolving back into Oiler colors fully? Have you discussed it with others? Have you gotten into fights online about this, and now you're to a stage of acceptance over the Titans, who have now officially decided that the Oiler colors are going to be their permanent colors going forward?
One of the great parts about being born in 1996 is that I have like zero connection whatsoever to actual Houston, other than throwback Earl Campbell jerseys and Ward Moon jerseys.
Sure.
That's about it.
Like, I was trying to figure it out because it was a thing online as the Titans, I guess, people believe here. If you have a level of disgust for the Titans, understood. Division rival. Team used to be here. Understood. I get the dynamics of it. I was trying to figure out if it's an age thing or is it simply, because it can't be just the hate of Nashville. Like, what do I know about Nashville? What's hateable about Nashville other than the Tennessee Titans reside there? So there's not really a rivalry, I would imagine. Neither team has prevented the other team from accomplishing anything. Like,
yeah,
there hasn't been a big game between the teams ever as far as, well, winner you're in. Not even that. We don't even have what the Colts and the Texans did a couple years ago in C.J. Stroud's rookie season, where if you win this game, you're in, and if they win this game, they're in. There's nothing has risen to that level yet, mostly because the Titans haven't been very good, and when they were good, the Texans weren't. So we don't even have that. We have like moments, like Vince Young running in for a touchdown.
That's what I remember.
Yeah,
that's what I remember.
We have that.
Guess who I was rooting for?
Well, I don't have to guess. I don't have to guess. So we have moments, no real sustained level of animosity brought on by, hey, you beat us so we don't go to the playoffs, or you beat us so you take the division. It's none of that. It's old enmity where it's like, hey, the owners don't like each other. The team used to be here. and you're rubbing it on our faces every time we play now because you don the Oilers colors when the game's in Nashville. But no more, hey, it's special uniform time. We're just going to wear that Columbia blue and white because it's our colors and improve our uniform. Beyond all the hate, the uniforms are better. If you haven't seen them, the Titans have had an unveiling of their uniforms, and they're better than what they had before. The now old uniforms kind of sucked. So they've made a switch, new coach, quarterback in a second year. And that's about it for me. Like, it's part of it is I wasn't born here. I watched the Oilers from afar, but I have been here long enough to know that this will probably always be a thing. But at the end of the day, they're still the Titans. And whether they decide to continue to troll the Texans by wearing the actual Oilers uniforms anytime the Texans walk into Nashville, win some games that matter, and then I'll start to actually take you seriously.
That's like the real thing. Beat the Texans like when you're wearing those uniforms.
Yeah, that would help.
That would help. That's... Don't lose to Case Keenum. And also, to me, it more just speaks to like the failure of branding of the Tennessee Titans, where it's like, what, it's been 30 years, and they just, like, the best they can do is, hey, the Oilers are pretty, they had pretty nice uniforms, right?
Yeah.
That like, we've just circled all the way back to, like, actually, we probably should have just kept all this stuff, but they changed it initially because they didn't.
They didn't want the Oilers ties.
No,
they wanted to be something that... Yeah. Was unique to Tennessee, and they came up with what they came up with. And, you know, the Eddie George, Jeff Fisher teams, they make a Super Bowl, all those things. So there was some early success, and then less so until Mike Vrabel got there. And then they got rid of him, and now they're in a new stage.
They just haven't had, like, a branding that were, and part of that is, like, you know, the Eddie George run in, what, 99, 2000 range. And after that, they're kind of just like a also-ran kind of NFL team. Like, they're, I mean, it fits in with three of the AFC South teams where it's just like, yeah, we're in the NFL too.
We're in the NFL. We have maybe a moment or two, and that's about it. In fact, the highlight they used, because they've put together certainly a marketing campaign for this, and one of the videos they put out was this father raising his son, and then eventually the father growing old, and now his granddaughter is a Titan fan. And so if you don't hate them, it's probably pretty well done. But the only highlight they used was the Music City Miracle.
Yeah.
It's the one moment in Titan history that's mattered at all. The only other one was was the tackle, but that's not a good moment for them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're not going to use that.
That is like the most like memorable Tennessee Titans moment. It's that and the Music City Miracle. Third place might be Vince Young kneeling at the end of a primetime game against the Texans, for me personally.
Vince Young running into the end zone in overtime.
Well, I remember him kneeling it down and, like, celebrating and, like, NRG being kind of loud for that.
Yeah, it's happened. So there's not a lot there for the Titans to focus on football-wise. So the uniform, the nostalgia is what they have. And what else are you going to do in the offseason with the rebrand? But
I feel like this is early to get the rebrand, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Texans was like April. I mean, I feel like we were waiting for it forever.
I guess.
And they leaked like.
Well, the Titans ones leaked before the announcement because they all do now. Yeah, they're out on the internet before they made their announcement and had Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward, and I guess DK was the other player. This is what I'm saying. Like, the third guy they picked was.
Is, I guess, DK.
A receiver of little to no consequence.
Yes, the second most notable receiver whose name sounds like DK. You're like DK Metcalf. No, yeah. Other guy.
No, the smaller receiver.
The guy's first name.
Playing for Tennessee. Exactly. I don't know his first name. I'm sure.
I know it starts with a C. That's
because
in the fantasy football app, it's C DK.
It's, I think it's Chimera DK. Chimere, or Chimera DK. I'll figure out how to pronounce that when he does something that matters outside of wearing that uniform. But he was part of the event, and that's it. The problem for the Titans, and you should comfort yourself if you're upset by whatever they're doing, is the fact that the uniform thing will probably be the most consequential thing that happens. They spent a lot of money this offseason. They couldn't have got Wandell Robinson in a uniform, I guess. Maybe he wasn't official yet, or he wasn't in the city.
You put your
star receiver acquisition, if you want to call Wandell Robinson a star, you put him in a uniform, not Chimera Dike, who was okay as a rookie. So there it is. I was just trying to gauge if you were upset by it.
I have almost zero emotions attached to the Titans Texans rivalry. I just do not care.
Your lack of emotion is so prominent that the moment that you are attached to is simply because the guy who created it went to the school you went to.
Yes. That's really what I care about.
So, inconsequential rivalry. They got new uniforms. I guess you can think they rubbed it in your face, but it was always going to be this. The moment they broke out the Tennessee Oilers stuff in opposition of the Texans, at some point they're going to get to a version of those uniforms, and they did it in 2026.
They really didn't hide how much they wanted to just reboot. That's what it is. It's like a reboot because no oil derrick. No, they had did some modern elements to the sleeves and stuff where it's not a pure recreation, but it is when there's a new Spider-Man and the suit's a little bit different. It's still Spider-Man.
But it has
Spider-Man.
The things and go, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, Batman too, where it's see, they changed the headgear on this Batman.
And the quarterback wears the number one, which was Warren Moon's number. So there's that didn't happen on purpose, but it just is what it is. So there will be times
where you're is that Warren Moon?
Well,
no, that's Cam Ward.
It's not, or madam, it's not Warren Moon.
This game's being played in HD.
Yeah, so, but there will be some of that, I guess, for people who are upset. But there it is. The Titans got new uniforms. Go win some football games, and then maybe we'll care about what you're on. As far as this show and what we're going to be on today, Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. So if you got movie or TV questions or just want to comment on what you're seeing, he'll join us to talk about that. Big 12 new floor or glass floor, LED floor. We hardly knew ye. That is gone. Injuries were the primary concern, or fear of injuries the primary concern, not just the aesthetics, which bothered people as well. We talked about it yesterday that the lights apparently gave a K-State player migraines. Enough complaints have occurred that the semifinals tonight and the final will be played on the old school hardwood floor. I just posed a question this morning. Weren't there issues with the women's tournament and you guys decided that was fine? I imagine the women were slipping as well, and they didn't like the lack of grip on the floor, and they're like, whatever, we got to at least get to the men's tournament.
You know how women are. That's the Big 12
I don't know if your Mark thought that, but they at least had to get to the men's tournament and showcase the floor before they decided that, oh, this actually is a problem. Now we'll switch it for the three biggest games of our league year, the semifinals and the finals. So the Cougs are involved in that. We'll talk about what happened with them. It was what we've come to expect from the Cougs, but they pulled it out. They shut down A.J. DeBanza, who has now progressed to be everyone's favorite choice for the number one overall pick. They shut him down in the second half, and they got the win. They'll face everyone's past favorite tonight, and Darren Peterson. He'll be the guy they have to stop along the rest of that Kansas roster. So we'll do that. We'll talk about what went on in the NBA. No Rockets, but we did have a big matchup. We had Celtics and Spurs. OKC. The Celtics played the Spurs earlier this week. While we made fun of Jaylen Brown a bit for what happened that led to his ejection, I got to credit his ejection against the Spurs. I got to credit the Prime Mics for picking up what Jaylen Brown said after an SGA, or at least SGA drew a foul. It's probably what a lot of people felt. Jaylen Brown expressed it, and we heard it clearly. So a lot to get to. Of course, you can join us, 713-780-3776. The big news, if you want to call it that, out of Astros camp, is that their offseason acquisition, Mike Burrows, is impressing, which would actually make you feel pretty good about what that starting rotation should be at the top, because Imai's been good, Burrows has been good, and of course we know about Hunter Brown, so we'll get into that too. But before we do any of that, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. It is truck month, so you got a chance to pick up a great vehicle at a really good price. They are giving you a price right now that is consistent with what they give, what sellers of those vehicles get. So it matches that price. So if you're looking for a vehicle and you want to get that dealer price, now's the time. It is Truck Month. Take advantage of it and find the vehicle you want at ModMintChevrolet.com. Whether it be the Silverado 1500 or maybe you're looking for something a little different like the Colorado or even the Silverado EV, they're all there and I can give you those options because I'm looking right now at their View Our Lineup section. From trucks to electric vehicles to SUVs to performance vehicles, it's all there for you, even commercial vehicles. So if you're a business owner and you want something for your business, they got a large selection of vehicles for business owners as well. All that at ModMintChevrolet.com. So find the deal and the car that you want and then head on out there. They're in Pasadena, Beltway 8 and 225. And then ask for Jeff. He's their GM. He'll answer any questions you have, and then he will direct you or guide you to one of their salespeople who will walk you through the car buying process in a way that fits what you want. Whether you know what you want and you just want to get in front of the car, or maybe you got some questions that the salespeople can answer, they'll walk you through it at your own pace and then find the right vehicle for you. That's the tried and true method at Monument Chevrolet. That's why they've been in business for as long as they have, and that's been over 50 years. ModMintChevrolet.com is a website. Go to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Turn your choice on the site into a vehicle that you're going to love. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Kelvin Sampson here. His Cougs win in a tough battle against BYU. They were able to shut down AJ Devansa and get the win. There are some moments that Kelvin Sampson will allude to that certainly I took note of during the game. But at this point, where every game going forward means you get to advance, or if you lose, you're out, who cares how you get it done? And Kelvin Sampson kind of has that same approach. Here's Kelvin Sampson post-game after the Cougs took care of BYU.
Really proud of my guys. Wasn't our best game. We made some bonehead plays. Stepping out of bounds, wide open threes. So, you know, why would we shoot this when we can step out of bounds? That made sense to me. You know, we got a breakaway too. You know, 2 minutes to go. Why would we take that? Let's just see if we can. I mean, we do have a shot clock, right? So that didn't make a lot of sense either. But, you know, the name of the game is to win the game. And at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. Proud of my team for finding a way to win the game, hanging in there, making the plays that we needed to have made. The two biggest plays were two freshmen. Chase, we called a set out of the timeout, got him open on the wing. He banged it, and then Kingston. So proud of those two freshmen.
He's talking about Chase McCarty. He knocked down a big three. BYU trapped the ball handler on a pick and roll. He flared out to beyond the arc on the wing and knocked down a shot. It was first shot and only, excuse me, his only make, his first make and only make of the game, and it was a big one. What play he's referencing? It the one where they had a breakaway and didn't try to score. Milos Uzon had the ball ahead of the pack. Maybe he thought the guy chasing him had a chance to block his shot, but they're up with the chance to extend their lead, and he just backs out. And you could watch a UH assistant go, like, dang it, what are you doing? He was standing up because he just thought he was going to either lay it in or dunk it, and instead Uzon looks behind him, doesn't try to score, and rounds out beyond the arc, and it resulted in a bad shot later in the shot clock, which the Cougs' issue, at least last night, was that, where there were times where the first shot turned out to be the best shot. The first opportunity turned out to be the best shot they're going to get, particularly Uzan coming off of some pick and roll stuff where he's in a lane and the mid range is there for him to take. Instead, he doesn't take it. And then it winds up in Emmanuel Sharpe's hand where he has to take some last second three. And it's a bad shot. So maybe that's an Uzan confidence thing. Maybe he simply doesn't want to take the mid-range jumper, but that happened quite a bit. And they get in trouble with that where they pass up maybe a good shot looking for a better one, and they never get that better shot. Sharpe was great from the free throw line, went 10 of 10, but from the floor, 1 of 9, from beyond the arc, 1 of 6. They struggled, period, shooting the ball from beyond the arc. They went 5 of 17. Him and Uzan did not shoot the ball well. Of course, Kingston Flemings, because he's Kingston Flemings, was 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. They went, and their defense was how that got done. Devanta played all 40 minutes, scored his 26 points, but they were able to shut him down in the second half. You know, 26 on 7 of 18, and you get to the line 10 times and make a 9, that's going to work out. That's a good night for Devanta, but they did enough to not only keep him down, particularly in that second half where they only gave up 25 points. They were not great defensively in the first half. They gave up 41, but 25 in that second half and kind of kept him from turning a good night into a great one, and they get the win. There was a thing that they're going to have to avoid beyond some of the struggles offensively. JoJo Tugler had 3 fouls. He picked up an offensive foul setting the screen, and there's always the question of, did Uzan go early when he was setting the screen, or did JoJo not set himself? That's going to be a thing in the tournament the rest of the way, in the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament for the Cougs. Can they avoid him being JoJo Tugler, picking up an unnecessary foul that sits him down for 4 or 5 minutes in games? Because you see what happens when he's not on the floor compared to what he is. We all know. Well, if you don't, he is a Defensive Player of the Year type in the Big 12. He's won that award before, and his importance in these big games going forward is just going to be accentuated. He's got to find a way to play 30 minutes plus in tournament games going forward, or it's going to be real tough on the Cougs to maintain the way they want to play. But you got the win. You heard the coach talk about it. No apologies necessary. And now they get to play Kansas and Darren Peterson, who will play in this game, it looks like. And he played in Kansas' previous game and played well. Well, he scored. He didn't shoot the ball very well. So we'll see what the Cougs can do tonight. And if we go by Joe Lunardi, latest bracketology, the Cougs are a 2 seed, but more importantly, in the South, which would mean, as we talked about yesterday, that they would be able to, if they win their games, be able to play for a chance at the Final Four in their home city. So the dream is still alive for that. We'll see if how the rest of this tournament goes affects the possibility of that. Kansas tonight, and we'll see if they can make a Big 12 conference tournament final. And they'll do it on those traditional floors because the Big 12 has come out and said, no more of the LED glass floors. They're unsafe. Not unsafe enough to do it before the tournament because, hey, we can't promote this and tell people this was going to be a thing and not have it ready for the men's tournament. Sure, if a Texas Tech player suffers a groin injury or a K-State player gets a migraine, that's part of the risk you take when you play in the Big 12 tournament. The floor might hurt you.
That's it's the toughest conference in basketball.
Yeah, the basketball purists, that's what they leaned into. You don't need any gimmicks. You're the best conference in basketball. You don't have to try to do stuff. No, look,
it makes the grind even harder. Try to play on this.
Yeah. Well, does the ACC force their best players? Does Caden, not Caden, which one's a better boozer? Caden or what's the other?
Cam.
Cam. Caden, it's fine. But Cam, we don't force Cam Boozer to play on a glass floor in the ACC. Now, if he was in the Big 12, now we would see how great he is. Not only would he have to play in a better league, but then we'd have to force him to avoid a groin injury by playing on our floor. Look, the Big 12, it didn't work out. The floor wasn't well received, and they changed it. I think that's good work. You tried it. It didn't work. And you move on now that you've got bigger games for your conference.
It is insane that A.J. Devanta, in one of his last 4 games, let's say, maximum?
Possibly. Yeah, you know, they could make
be the last
They can make a Sweet 16, sure.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah.
They're 5-5 in their last two
games. Yeah, who knows? They could be out in the first round. Who knows?
Yeah. The presumptive number one pick, if it's not him, it's Darren Peterson.
Who's playing tonight?
He played 37 minutes on the glass court. DeBanza played 40 minutes on the glass court. Like, again, 2 weeks before they're going to be NBA players.
Yeah.
That just... I'm shocked that mostly Peterson played on this court.
Considering what people think of him, if Darren Peterson had said, I feel like this court isn't safe, I'm not going to play, no one would be surprised. Like, he would have been crushed for it, but it would have been on brand.
Even if you're like, no, he's asking out because his body doesn't feel right, he doesn't want to risk an injury, yada, yada, yada. Not because, whatever, he hates Bill Self or Kansas basketball or basketball the game itself. It's like, no, the favorable look is, oh, he doesn't want to get hurt on this thing. Or he doesn't want to get hurt in Allen Fieldhouse. Never mind on this circus court that they're playing on.
which experimental court.
Can we the experimental court, now that we know, now that it's proven by the Big 12 that they're going away from it, that it's like not that safe, or at least not safe enough. I think we can be disappointed by the lack of ambition that they showed when that court was in use. They didn't really, crazy with anything.
Pre-game introductions, they did some stuff.
Cool.
When a dunk happened, they did some stuff. But as far as usage and all the things it's capable of, just not much.
Yeah, what they're doing in, they didn't actually put it out as a test video. It was just someone videoing the guy testing the court, 3 weeks ago, but where it was like changing the center logo and changing the court to where it looked like every team's home court. It's like, you could have done that. Like, that would have been better or one half is one team, the other half is the other, like a bowl game end zone paint. Yeah. Like, you could have done that stuff. Like, they just, nope. Great court that we had last year that people hated. The glass, we'll have a glass break effect when guys dunk.
So
that's it. Job done.
So a design, an aesthetic design people didn't like, we're just going to put that on a court deemed unsafe, and that's the Big 12 tournament's contributions to the game.
I'm just saying, aim higher if you're going
to. I agree.
If you're going to,
I was excited about the court because I thought they would do some things, and they did next to nothing.
You didn't try to be unsafe about it.
And then also the court was unsafe.
Like if this car is going to be unsafe, it better be fast. You know,
It's not built out of much, but it goes 180 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's terrible gas mileage. Absolutely terrible. Also,
but it looks cool and it's fast.
Yeah. Or the opposite, terrible gas mileage, low safety rating. Also looks terrible and sucks to drive.
People didn't buy Volvos back in the day because of how great they looked. They got a great safety rating and they're dependable.
What was the upside on we got sold a false bill of goods on this Big 12 court, and we got nothing. We got just the crappy court that they had last year and a combined, 5 seconds worth of effects during a game.
Poor job by the Big 12.
Man, come on.
And then you throw in the whole, we didn't care about the safety of that other tournament that was on the court.
That too.
That can throw that in too.
It wasn't great.
No.
Not a great look.
Either way, Cougs, Kansas tonight for a chance to go to the Big 12 tournament final, and we'll see how that plays out. Cougs got to face another top three pick. We'll see what they do with him. While you could say the Big 12 regular season was a bit of a disappointment because of that three-game stretch of losses, you can certainly make up for it if you end the weekend or Saturday night holding up a Big 12 trophy. And who knows, if Florida slips up someplace, you go from possibly a 2-seed to a 1. Currently, as it looks from Joe Lunardi's perspective, they're the 6th ranked team in the seeding, so the 4 number ones, and I forgot who's number 5. And
I think it's UConn.
Maybe. And then there's 6, which has them set up to play in the South Regional. I think, sure, 1-seed, cool. But if you wind up in the South, that's just fine for the Cougs anyway. All right, we'll go to break with that. Remember, at 11:30 or around there, Michael Carroll will join us to discuss movies and television. He is the host of Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee. So, there has been some discussion, I would say, about the validity of an 83-point game. And I don't particularly care that much about that anymore, but I do care about how we're going to use what Eric Spoelstra said as part of the show. If you missed it, we'll play that when we come back. The Heat coach in the first media availability for him after the game that Bam Adebayo put up 83 points. He was asked some questions about it, and he had a response that you might expect, but a particular sentence he said has to become part of this show. We just got to figure out a way to deploy it. We'll hear from Eric Spoelstra when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to the night in the NBA, but we'll start with this. It's NBA related, but it happened in the afternoon. Eric Spoelstra spoke to the media. He is the coach of the Miami Heat. His player, Bam Adebayo, scores 83 points. He has the most points ever scored in HD in an NBA game and on TVs, honestly. No one saw the Wilt thing. We just assume or we will take people's words for it that he scored 100. But as far as evidence is concerned, video evidence, Kobe had the mark. Now he doesn't. Bam has it. And the questions were asked of Eric Spoelstra, how that came about, how ethical or unethical it was. Here's his response to all those questions.
I apologize to absolutely no one. Period. And, you know, going into the game, it's a Tuesday night game against a team where they're not playing for anything, where their organization is trying to lose. We've already lost a game, you know, in that kind of situation. We have players that are sitting out, and I spoke to Bam about, I want, as our best player and team captain, for him to be locked in and ready. And he sure was.
Credit to Spo for avoiding saying that the players are trying to lose, because then there may be trouble. But saying that the Wizards are trying to lose is honest. That team, that organization is not trying to win games. The players that went out there tried hard. I don't know that Brian Keith, their coach, was doing his players any favors by looking at that Heat starting lineup and going, you know what, we're not gonna pay too much attention to Bam. We're just gonna let him do whatever he wants for three quarters. And then when it came to it being maybe embarrassing for us to give up 70 to Bam Adebayo, then we're gonna try. Like, this all could have been nipped in the bud early when you look at it and go, maybe we should funnel shots to Myron Gardner.
Yeah,
maybe we should have Myron Gardner shoot all the shots if we can.
Whoever's guarding him, just guard Bam also instead.
Yeah, and then allow Myron Gardner to shoot. And if he goes for 40 and a half, then okay, what are we going to do? So, okay, that's the coach of the guy who did it. That's his opinion. We've heard or seen other opinions from people who said he should have sat out when he got to 81 or found it unethical, whatever. But how do we incorporate, I apologize to absolutely no one, I think at least we should have it in our library just in case it's needed.
It's also an update of the Conor McGregor one.
And you don't have to bleep this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Saves me
all of like
5 seconds once.
Yeah. But less work?
Big 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And you know, suppose a legend. He's less controversial.
I would say. I mean, he's
a little bit.
I mean, he's the most controversial.
I don't know. Like November 2010, I think it was pretty close. Who was more controversial?
Yeah, because LeBron made it that way. Yes. But Spo pretty well liked across the league, well respected. Although people are now upset with him for daring, daring to allow one of his players to go after Kobe Bryant's non-record. Mm-hmm. By the way, but that happened. The fallout will maybe last a couple of days, and then we'll get over it if you haven't already. But
I do think the Wizards should share most of the shame.
Yes, if we're attacking anyone, it
Bam
should be the
said
Wizards.
It when they asked him about it, he was like, their coach didn't double me. Though I had 70. Like, yeah. What is that?
Why are you upset with him? Take your shots at the Wizards for how they approached that thing, allowing the one player in that particular game who was going to who was going to guarantee them a loss to do whatever he wanted because they wanted to lose. You heard Spo talk about it, but I do think we will encourage, or at least we will look for ways to use "I apologize to absolutely no one." We also had some sound from a game last night. It was Celtics Thunder. Good game. Very good game. Came down to the end. The Thunder found a way to win. The funniest part about it was Jason Tatum didn't play, and everyone said it was because Lou Dort was on the other side and the Celtics weren't taking that chance. And you know what? If that crossed the Celtics' mind at all, reasonable.
If it's a tiebreaker?
Yeah. Lou Dort or no Lou Dort. If Lou Dort didn't play, you run Jason Tatum out there, yeah. But you knew that Lou Dort was going to play, so he doesn't play. Jaylen Brown hit a big shot late to draw the game even, but he also had words for NBA officials because the last time he played, he got thrown out of a game. He got ejected for complaining. We've watched the video. I think he flopped, and that led to all of that. So I don't have much, let's just say, I don't feel bad for Jaylen Brown over that incident because he brought it on himself. But I do think it's funny that the prime mics are good enough to capture this after SGA drew a foul.
Out for Gilgeous Alexander. The drive. He's fouled. And SGA is going to the free throw line with 17.
If you didn't catch it, he said, "That's not basketball." He went on to say that after the game as well. He didn't mention SGA by name, but he did talk about flopping. He did talk about the NBA saying they want one thing, but allowing for another thing. And that's just sound on the court of a guy frustrated by what he's saying. I'm sure he wasn't thrilled that he didn't get away with his own version of a flop earlier, but he goes, so it's like we commend players for playing the game the right way, but we give the benefit to those who necessarily are trying to manipulate the game into their advantage. I just don't think it's basketball. Let's just play basketball. All the foul baiting, I think it's whatever for me. And SGA is a prime example currently in the NBA of a guy who's a superstar who people think uses every trick in the book to get to the free throw line. Whether it's ethical or not, I don't think it matters until the NBA decides that it matters. And right now, they're fine with what people think is foul baiting. And it just so happens that the MVP of the league, and if he plays enough games, he would be the two-time MVP, at least two times in a row, is the standard bearer. He's the logo. Like, we have the Jerry West logo. If we had the foul baiting logo, it would have SGA throwing his head back. Yeah. like he got run over by his own teammate, Lou Dort. But it is what it is, and we don't have to focus on the Thunder night after night, because we have our own basketball team to worry about who have the Pelicans tonight. But if you're in a series, which the Rockets have not been against the Thunder since SGA has become a superstar, if you're in a series against the Thunder and you got championship aspirations, it's going to be supremely frustrating to watch him be officiated in the way and then watch the Thunder be as physical as they are defensively, getting away with what they get away with.
I think that's what upsets people the most, is that Lou Dort and Alex Caruso and Cason Wallace, like, just mug the other team's guards. Like, to the point where there's points in the finals last year where they were just, like, grabbing Haliburton's arms, like, as he was dribbling up above the three-point line. And they were, like, just hand-fighting, and he would just look at the referee like, why are you not calling?
Yeah, what are we doing here? Like,
and then that's when, you know, the OKC's on defense, and then when they're on offense, again, SGA drives hard, gets touched, throws his head back, throws the ball at the rim, and gets two free throws.
Yeah.
It's like the imbalance there, I feel like, is what really, like, enrages people. Like Nikola Jokic, who was enraged by Lou Dort 2 weeks ago.
Well, that might have been less about imbalance and then what the F are you on right now? And we saw what happened there.
Also, the Celtics, they obviously sat Tatum last night. On Saturday, they play the Wizards. You know what, Tatum? Play the Wizards. Play the Wizards, not the Thunder. You know? Recent events tell me the Thunder are going to put up more of a fight against you than the Wizards. Look, Ryan Keefe might not even guard you. He might just leave you open.
Jason, you want to get right?
Yeah, we'll go for 60.
Yeah, however many minutes you want to play, you got a chance to have a very big night coming up. Although the Wizards almost beat the Magic last night, so the Wizards responded with a pretty good effort last night where it went to overtime and they eventually fell to the Magic by five. So they responded to their own, maybe had to look inside and go, man, that was embarrassing.
How many shots did Paolo take? Paolo Banchero was a big, like, in his mind, I'm sure he's like, Bam could go for 82 against these, or 83 against these guys. Come on.
Paolo wound up with, he only shot 13 because he went 4 for 13. So he was like, I'm not feeling it tonight.
Not my night.
Yeah. So he played 42 minutes in part of that overtime game. And then the Wizards eventually fell. Bilal Coulibaly had a nice stretch late in that game to get them back in it.
Maybe Tristan Da Silva was the guy who was like, I'm going for a career high tonight.
Yeah, maybe Coulibaly, the Wizard, was maybe someone who was too good. Maybe the Wizards were like, excuse me, hey, this is not the plan. Yeah. I don't need you baking in a three with 5 seconds to go to tie the game. The point is to give a better effort but still lose because that's the end goal, as Spo pointed out.
He's going to have knee soreness tomorrow night.
Yeah, Trae Young played. So Trae Young was unable to play against Miami, but he was able to play against the Magic. Only played 21 minutes because we can't have anyone in the game who may put up a fight. And they almost blew it, but they found a way to lose, and there's that. All right. We are done with hour one. When we come back, we'll talk some Astros because maybe the rotation will be just fine if we go by what spring training has showed us. The Astros so far have three guys who maybe you should be excited about. Of course, Hunter Brown, but we'll tell you about Mike Burrows and what he's up to. The recent Pirate Act player who was acquired in a three-team trade, a rare three-team trade in baseball. He's pitched well. We'll give you some of the numbers there and some quotes from some of the guys who've seen him and why they're excited about him. We'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.